Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over my heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." So every morning I wake up, I have the same routine. I roll out of bed, literally onto the ground, on my knees, and I just ask for mercy. I confess my sins. I ask for hope. I ask for help. And I'm before God, and I literally just say, "Jesus, this is your day. Would you please take it and use it the way you desire?" I want to lift up my life to you, God, and ask that you would use it. And then I get up, and I do the second most spiritual thing. I walk to my coffee maker, and I make coffee. And now I make my coffee out of what's called a drip coffee maker, and I'm sorry to disgust most of you young people, but it's really cool because you put the beans in it, and then it grinds it, and it actually drips all in one. Just push a button, blah, makes it happen. I've kept this thing alive, literally with super glue, for years. And I started thinking, I think that's what Kelly thinks of me. She's like, keeping me alive. She's using super glue to keep me alive. But, man, the coffee does a number of great things for me. It actually wakes me up, which is important. This isn't a talk about drinking coffee, but because I feel like you guys are already doing that. It's a great thing. But it also reminds me of, like, I need to go to the well. Like, I need to listen to God. I need to hear from him. And so I sit there, I'm cleaning it, I'm getting it ready, putting a filter in, pushing the button. It's not difficult. And I love it. I get my cup of coffee and I enter into a room where my wife is already sitting there on the couch. And she's doing the same thing. She's going before God. She's like spending time with God. And then there's Buddy, our dog, who is just amazing. Buddy has taught me so much spiritually, literally. I mean, he is the dog that when we lived in Frisco, he would be at the door. It would be dark outside. I'd wake up, and he would be sitting there jumping. When he doesn't sleep outside anymore. He's moved into like this incredible privileged status with my wife. But when we first got him, the rule was he's sleeping outside. Rules seem to change in marriage. But this dog was dying to see me. He was just jumping, you know, licking the window, licking the door, and I'd open the door, and then he'd just jump and just go crazy. And it just reminded me, you know, back then, it reminds me this week as well that that's the way Jesus is with us. Like he's just dying to meet with you. He wants so much to connect with you and have your heart connected to his. And so I'll sit there, Kelly and the dog are over there, and just quietly, we're spending time alone with God. Like I'm reading what's called the Bible, this big book. And I'm reading it. I follow different plans. I've done this year plan we did last year as a church. Jonathan got us to go through this scripture reading deal, which was amazing. I've read, you know, I've studied one book at a time throughout my life. Like each month, I'd study one book and then I'd change to another book. Or what I typically do is fall back on the lectionary, which has like an Old Testament scripture, New Testament, a psalm or proverb, and then the words of Jesus, which I love. Love getting to that part. But I spend this time and I dedicate a portion of my life each day to reading the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. These are interchangeable words here that I'll use today. And last week, after praying, I've been asking Jesus, what should I like share with you today? I feel like he led me to a passage in Romans. If you want to pull out the Bible in front of you or read along with me, Romans 15. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. He's like, Romans is such an amazing book. Like it is, he literally leads us through theology, through who we are in Christ. And then he begins to wrap up his letter. Some manuscripts don't even have 15 and 16, but I do believe these were written by Paul, and he's wrapping up this letter. He's like putting a bow on this letter. And he's actually emphasizing this word, hope. He actually refers back to, in his day, where it was the scriptures is what he refers to in this passage. It's actually the Old Testament to us, or portions of it, in verse 12. And in verse 13, he refers to the God of hope. It was verse 4 that really caught my attention. But I'm going to wait on that. I'd like you to look at verse 5 and 6. It says, now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. So he's actually sharing this again to Christians so that with one accord, you may be with one voice, glorify God. There's this incredible passion by Paul, isn't there? For us in this room to be one. And it's interesting that it's in the context of hope. Like, we got to have hope to be one because it's difficult getting along with me, isn't it? It's just difficult. I know me. And it's a struggle. But it was a big deal for Paul. And he actually goes, if you read Ephesians 4, when he talks to the church in Ephesus, same thing. Be of one spirit. And it says, when you do, you're going to need perseverance. You're going to need encouragement. You're going to need those two things. He underscores those two words twice in this passage. And he actually says, if you do this, you will. You want to know how to glorify God? Here it is. You will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By doing this, by being one, by being one. I love verse 7 because in my Bible, this old New American Standard, it actually uses, in the recent text, even the New American, it says, therefore. So it gives us this picture in verse 7, therefore. And you've always heard, what is the therefore? What is it therefore? What is therefore, therefore? If I completely confused you? So you actually want to look back and go, why is this here? But in my Bible, it says, wherefore? Like Shakespeare. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? It's like the emphasis on therefore, it feels to me, is that it's in the back. Like what happened back there? Wherefore is like, I'm looking ahead. Where are you? What is next? And he starts this verse 7, which I think is critical. He says, wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you. Simple, isn't it? And we've been doing that. Mankind has been doing that for years, hasn't it? You don't like my sarcasm. We haven't really done a great job at accepting one another, especially in the church. It seems like, therefore, accept one another. It's not simple. This is actually really difficult, if not impossible. And it's impossible without Christ, period. Christ has to do it in me. And then, as he's doing it in me, he starts to do it through me. It starts to unfold and become part of you, like I'm able to accept you. You know, we talked last time I spoke on, you know, being attached to the vine and this electricity from heaven. When we're attached to the vine, when we're connected to Jesus, actually flows through us and produces kingdom fruit. And that is exactly what this is all about. This is about giving us the power to love one another. I surrender to letting Jesus live through me. So I started to think more about how I abide, and I wanted to share it with you. And it came down to this incredible importance of spending time alone with God. Because without it, I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, think about a day where you didn't even think about Jesus. But without it, I walk through the day and I go, that person needs to help me, or I'm not going to talk to them. That person isn't really doing any of me good. I'm not going to spend any time with them. I mean, I just walk through the day with this crazed, absolutely selfish kingdom, Billy Kingdom building project. But when I'm connected to the vine, when I surrender to him, Romans 5:8 actually says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were sinners, he died for us. He laid down his life for us so that we could actually love one another, right? This emphasis of loving him with all of our heart, loving our neighbor as ourselves, it starts with him and what he did for us first. And we're supposed to be like this. If he died so that we could live, he now wants us to die so he will live through us, right? So, you know what I do? I read the Bible. I'm not ashamed. I want to stand up and say, I read the Bible. I'm a Bible reader. I'm a Bible thumper. Call me a Bible thumper. I'm fine with it. I read the Bible. I read it. I spend time within it every day. And without it, I just become this person you don't want to be around. It certainly isn't Jesus. So I spend time alone with Jesus. And let me just say, for those of you who don't spend time with Jesus, who are Christians, I just want to say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you actually live as a Christian without reading the Bible. I don't know anything about your personal lives. I'm just saying this as a Billy Patterson going, it just does not compute. Like, I don't know how it happens because I'm so desperately dependent upon the Word of God. And you might say, well, I come on Sundays to hear you guys tell me about Jesus. No, you don't. Please say you don't. Because none of us, I know Jonathan doesn't want this, Todd doesn't want this. Chelsea doesn't want this. Kelly doesn't want this. I don't want this. We don't want you to be dependent upon us. We want you to have your own relationship with Jesus, to go to him, to build that relationship with him. Like, let me ask you, is there any other place in the world where you have to be honest? Francis Chan makes it clear. He says, man, there's no other place you have to be honest. Like, you can fake it with anybody on earth. You can fake it. You can make it. You can fake it until you make it. You know, whatever. But you can't do that with God. When you're sitting in his presence, You have to be honest. You have to be real. You have to be authentic. And what happens when you're authentic, like just with your friends sitting next to you in the pew or with your wife or husband? That relationship deepens. It becomes real. Like you start going, that person is, man, he's got my back. Because he's real with me. And he's letting me be real with him. And that's how it works with Jesus. Time alone with God isn't complicated. It really is just spending time being real with your Savior, with Jesus. So I want to be attached to Jesus. I want to know his point of view on everything. I want to know Jesus and live out his ways. So I talk, I pray, I lay my burdens at his feet, and I read my Bible. The Word of God, let me make this clear. The Word of God is not to learn about Jesus. None of us would say that we read the Bible so we can know about this Jesus. Like you may know everything about every Thunder player on earth, but just knowing about them doesn't mean they know you. So, it's becoming personally attached to Jesus, knowing his point of view, connecting your heart with his. And you know what happens when you read the Bible? You actually hear God speak to you. Now, I've never heard a voice. I've never heard this, Billy, go do this. I've never heard that. And actually, I'm a little frightened by that thought. But I do hear him. Like, I'll read the scripture, and I'll go, ooh. Or I'll go, yes. Or I'll hear him say, I'm giving you hope. Here's hope. Last week, I wrote in my journal this question. These questions. When I leave this world, do I want people who knew me to say, Billy had such a perfectly astute wisdom about God? Like, he knew everything about God. He could talk about any subject from the Bible. Or do I want him to say, Billy walked with Jesus, and the longer I knew him, the more I saw Jesus in the way he lived. So my time with Jesus is actually centered around this book, the Bible. And reading the Bible is my only hope for following Jesus. It's the only way to get real hope is to actually spend time in the Word of God. You become like him. Matter of fact, that's what verse 4 says. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement, the scriptures, we might have hope through them. Hope comes through perseverance and encouragement that comes through scriptures. So we have this circuitous little route or this circuitous dance. So you guys could actually spend time like calling me to persevere, calling me to encourage to read the Word of God, and then I do it. And then I read the Word. And then what the Word of God does for me, it gives me encouragement and perseverance in life. Perseverance and encouragement comes through the body of God, of Christ. And that's why I feel like this is where we need to spend some time, just actually encouraging each other, bringing forth this call, go, spend time in the Word. I want to put some courage in you this morning to spend time in the Word. It's like, for me, it's like eating food. If I don't eat food, my tummy growls. There starts to be an indicator. There's something wrong here. And I'll do anything to eat food. And that's where I want my life to be, my heart to be. This week, I'm a little fragile. will send off our second son. He doesn't want me to talk about him because he's really humble. But I practice this, and it says read, and I'm just supposed to read this. But Caleb goes, he goes to move to his own apartment for college. He sits up there and he serves us each Sunday running sound. And Wesley's doing the slides. It's usually Cole. I feel like we're the Von Trapp family here. But if I could give, just like give, like you have this, you get one thing, like God gives you this special little, you know, it's like a treasure in Fortnite, you know, one of those boxes. One of those, like you can actually get one and it works. And if I had one thing I could give any of my boys, all four of them, it would be that they would be independently dependent upon God. That they would find dependence on God. Not my faith, not Kelly's faith, but their own faith. And these young men would leave our home and depend on God. That they would have, because of that dependence, they'd have a craving to spend time with God. They'd have a craving to read the Word of God. Because everywhere else you will hear, depend on yourself or on a system or a plan. Reading the Bible, it calls us to live in this upside down kingdom. Like we're actually called to love our enemies, to accept people who are different, to serve rather than be served, like Jesus, master of the universe, humbles himself so that we can have this relationship with him. We should literally be running to that living room, jumping up and down in front of that door, running to him. So I just ask you today, are you independently dependent upon God? Do you have your own relationship with God? Are you spending time with God? The Bible is the training system. It is the life plan. It is the program. It's the real Twitter. You know, it's not just a bunch of people's ideas. It's written by God. It's him, the master of the universe, like gave us these plans. He gave us these ideas. He gave us these visions. He gave us this hope. And it's right there. It's right there in front of you. And if you don't have a Bible, I'll pay for it. Take the one in front of you. Take it home with you. It's not just a bunch of brilliant epiphanies from people. It doesn't just show pictures of how wonderful I am and how great my ministry's going, or it doesn't just show things. It actually is things. It's real. It's life. It's God breathed. It's the same breath of life when you read it. It's the same breath that God breathed into Adam and Eve. And you can get that. I love Psalm 19. It was written by It doesn't say it in the psalm, but most people believe it was King David who wrote these words, who literally was a man after God's own heart, as God declared. And what it says is amazing. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. They have ordained his precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I just want to ask, if you don't read the Bible, how do you know if someone is telling you the truth? Like, where do you find your truth? Is it like trusting your gut? I've got a big gut, and it still doesn't help. Is it just common sense? Is it like an inner voice? It's telling you what to do? I mean, where do you go that is solid, that is like absolutely true? I'm just begging you. I'm just begging you today to spend time with God. And read his word. Psalm 119:72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I choose the word of God over everything." Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 21:2 says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." I mean, you can look throughout the Old Testament. You can see, you know, in like 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 4, that in the end days, people will become lawless. There will be no place for people for truth. And I think if all we're trying to do is get people here once a week to hear someone tell you about Jesus, we're in trouble. Because we just fall back on this. We fall back on doing things that are right in our own eyes. I hope it's more than just common sense or your gut or inner voice. I hope it's things that aren't so silly, that I hope it's the word. True discernment, understanding, knowledge comes from the word of God. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. Verse 30, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You don't have to be a professor, a learned man, a scholar. The word of God is written to you. It is his words, a loving father communicating to you. You may not understand it all as you read it, but as you read it, God begins to help you understand. Don't be held back by what you think you're not. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 66. I've shared it several times, but heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. If I could just bring the band up. Which, by the way, the band, there's only three of them, but I think the worship was just unreal. Just appreciate them. Because, you know, Kelly said, we should be running through those doors when the music starts because we want to worship God. This verse, but to this one I will look. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and trembles at the word of God. I just want to ask you, do you tremble at the word of God? Do you tremble? If you do, awesome. If you don't, I'm going to just help you. If you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for years, I want you to just think back. Like, when was that time that you trembled at the word of God? Because God is saying, if you are humble and contrite and you tremble at my word, guess what? I hold you in esteem. I actually, the God of the universe, I'm looking at you. I'm holding you in esteem. Because of the significance of your humility and the significance of you reading the word of God and trembling at his presence. I remember the first time I trembled at the word of God. Do you? Like it was so crazy. It was in the cafeteria at the University of Oklahoma. I just miraculously was sitting with almost a stranger. I just met him the night before. He was speaking at a Bible study my fraternity was having with a sorority. And I was sitting in the back. God, I've heard all this. I went to Young Life when I was high school. I've heard those people talk. And he said one phrase that caught my attention. I went up to him afterwards. I said, hey, man, can I talk to you about something? He said, sure. Meet me at the cafeteria. I go, where's the cafeteria? I'm a sophomore, and I've never been to the cafeteria. So I sat there. And we talked about this issue that I brought up about a friend who's, I thought that maybe he could give me some Bible verses or something to help my friend. And then he turned the conversation to me. I said, what about you, Billy? Are you a Christian? Have you placed your, let me just show you some verses here about faith. This faith that Jesus died for your sins. He shared this thing called the gospel. And he began to say, he used this verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Man, my knees started to shake because I could tell God was doing, he was doing these things. He's trying to, these Christians were coming at me, trying to convert me. And I just kept pushing them away. But they kept loving me. And then he shared these verses, and my heart stopped because I was actually a bit fearful that my life was turned in the wrong direction. I began to tremble at this voice of God that I was hearing in my heart through this word of God. Do you remember when you trembled? And if you don't, if you've never trembled at the word, I'm going to just ask that this week, like today, start reading it. Like start honoring it. Maybe there's been just a season of drought and you're going, it's not helpful. Well, perseverance and encouragement, I'm giving you this morning to go. And when you read it, you'll get both. So, I think there's two of us here. The last verse. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. So I prayed over every pew here. I prayed for you. Didn't know you're sitting there, but I prayed for each one of you. I prayed that one of two things would happen, that your eyes would fail with longing for salvation today or longing for the word of God. So if you haven't accepted Christ, if you're not following him, I'm praying that you will make a decision today to follow him. Like, this is the day. I need something that is true to open up my heart. And I'm sharing it with you today. The word of God says that Jesus died for our sins and that by faith, he can forgive us of our sins. And he gives us a relationship with him. And those of you who haven't, who have already placed your trust, and you're going, man, that I should be spending time in the Word of God. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Just find a place in your day where you can just open it up for 5 minutes. If you don't have a place, I'll encourage you. Go to 1 Thessalonians 1. Read that first chapter. This week, just study it. Just take a verse a day, whatever it is. But begin this incredible, amazing life of getting on your knees before God, worshiping Him with your presence, and reading His words. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of just getting to be really honest with my friends here. And my hope is that you've already been working on their hearts. And wherever we are in this room, if there's those who have just come and they've never invited Christ into their life, I pray they just come talk to me or someone they know who goes here and just share it quietly with them. And for the rest of us, I ask you, would you help us tremble at your word again? Would you help us to feel the actual, burden of how rich the word of God is? Because ultimately, as you said in Romans, it's for hope that you want to give us hope. And only hope comes through the scriptures. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that every man, woman, and child here today would find their hope in you through the unfolding of the Word of God. So, it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen. So just sit when you're ready. There are 4 stations. You can dip the bread in the wine, and you can actually feel the sacrifice of what Jesus did, how He died for you, how He rose again, and how He actually wants to live with you. And actually, in this moment, why don't you just commit? Commit. Say, I want to get more time in your word, Lord Jesus. So just go when you feel led.